chapter 3, worn out by expectations. Coach K, one of the world's most infamous coaches in college basketball, says, quote, "A lot is expected of us. A great performance is expected every time. That's the standard. Not that we achieve it every time, but that we attempt to. When we don't attempt to, that's going to be big news. That's a big emotional investment for every game." He's speaking to the call to excellence. Expectations, says Moore, when you understand this, they hit us from every side and angle. He said there's external pressure that comes to us by expectations from the outside. And note this, that perfectionism is an unrealistic pursuit that leaves us spent. And I just want to clarify here, perfectionism is not going to honor God. Holding to God's standards honors God, and there's a difference. The person who seeks to be the perfectionist is self-righteous. They want the score of 100. To honor and righteously pursue the standards of God is to seek his glory and to accept his grace when you fall short. The perfectionist eats themselves alive from the inside out. The Christian, who some days gets the 100 on the test, gives God the glory. The Christian who scores the 90 on the test says, "Lord, I gave it my best. Forgive me for where I fell short." The Christian who scores a 40 on the test mourns the fact that they failed and stumbled and rests in the fact that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and says that I know that my sins have been forgiven and that the penalty of this sin has been removed from me as far as the east is from the west. And you know what? They grieve the fact that they failed the test. It's the both and. No expectations that we find in the Bible are wrong. He said the standards of God, these expectations of God, they're biblical. They're important for our spiritual growth. Do not let anybody tell you that they should or could be dismissed. They can't and they shouldn't. Think about Moses. Ron Moore says, if I think about somebody who had to deal with the pressure of external expectations, Moses. And he talks about Moses in the wilderness for 40 years with the grumblers, with those who have received so much and yet continued to show God their contempt by living without any sense of deep appreciation. He says, for Moses, 40 years of leading Israel and trying to meet their expectations had taken its toll. Moses was soul weary, and he acted out. In one moment, he let his anger, his weariness take over, and he went beyond what God said to do, and he struck the rock hard in anger. And as God does, he fulfilled his promise and brought the water. And at the same time, then he said to Moses, you don't get to go into the promised land. Whew. You want to tell me that there are no consequences for disobedience or wrong-heartedness? And where did it come from? Moses allowed the frustration and the expectations of the crowd, the people that he was leading, doing a wonderful job for the most part, by the way. He allowed them to get to him. And he responded out of his weariness with anger. And God did something that most of us find to be shocking. He said, well, it's been 40 years. You know, we were just about to go into the promised land. But you've shown a disrespect for me. And for that, you have now lost the privilege. You will not go into the promised land and lead these people. Tell me again about cheap grace and how there's no consequence and why we should just sing Kumbaya and give everybody a hug. Not if you love them. Not if you love them. You won't let them go to Ziklag. You won't let them strike the rock hard. There's also internal pressure. It's not always external pressure. Sometimes there's internal pressure. We get this typically when we compare ourselves to others instead of accept who we are in Christ. He says, too often churches foster an insidious culture that produces busy people with empty lives. You got to look like you're keeping up with the Joneses. You got to do as much as the Smiths. You. It's not about you, Christian. It's about our King. It's about our Christ. He says, as believers, we are committed to grow in our journey with Christ and do the things that God has called us to do. Amen. But too many of us end up living empty lives. Doers that are not being. There's a sin that easily ensnares and traps all of us. We have a custom fit sin problem. Each one of us. Our Achilles heels are different, but they're there. Moore says, every believer is a new creation transformed by the work of God. At 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Holy Spirit is here. He indwells us and he provides us everything we need to live a life of faithful obedience. So the reality of the challenge does not take away from the blessing and the privilege of the power that we have. We need to understand both. And while the penalty of sin is gone, here again, listen to how profound. While the penalty of sin is gone for the Christian, the propensity to sin remains. You and I have a fallen nature that needs to be put in check and surrendered all the time. He says, each of us has certain spiritual weaknesses and vulnerabilities. The writer of Hebrews describes these spiritual liabilities as the sin that so easily entangles us. Chapter 12, verse 1. In these areas, sin is like a low-grade fever. We're constantly exerting spiritual energy to fight off the infection. Right? Maybe for you it's grumbling. Maybe for you it's anger. Maybe for you it's doubt. Maybe it's for you a sense of materialism. We all have this low-grade sin fever. And we're always exerting energy to fight off the infection. Continuing the quote. But when we fail to live out God's purpose in God's power, we come to understand painfully and personally Psalm 32:4. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped. My strength was sapped. I want to ask you, friend, when was the last time you came to grips with the fact that God had a heavy hand on you and not a grace hand on you? When you could say, like the psalmist in Psalm 32, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. There's a consequence for disobedience. There's a blessing as we walk with the King. Ephesians 6:12 reminds us that this is something that happens in the heavenlies, that this is a spiritual reality in a physical context. When we fail to prepare for battle, we are dangerously exposed to Satan's attack. He knows exactly when and where to place the lure to divert us from obedience. He points out in 1 Peter 5:8 that the enemy of our soul is like a roaring lion prowling around looking for souls to devour. Let us face it, says Moore. Jesus sets a high standard and expectation for obedience. He does. The spiritual life is an emotional investment where obedience is expected every day. That he speaks to us through his word and his spirit. Like Coach K speaks to the Duke team. Listen, there are high expectations upon us, and we're blessed to carry them. Let us never lay down those standards in the name of cheap grace or the fact that we deserve a break today. We also get worn out based on our responsibilities for others. The expectations that come along with responsibility for others. He speaks to the pastorate and those under shepherds who carry a weight and a burden for those that they lead and feed. And he says, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to know that you're loved and cared for. It's a good thing that parents care for their children. It's a good thing that you, Christian, have a grieving heart for those that you know that are lost. There's a good thing there. He said, David allowed an ungenerous man, however, to ignite the short fuse of his weary soul. That can happen when we are spiritually tired. Don't let your love for and responsibility for others lead you into a place of weariness or sin. Frustration and disappointment become exaggerated. Little things become big things when you get into this place. Soul weariness causes us to say and do things that we'll later regret. I wish I had a nickel for each time I felt the sting of a dagger that somebody later said, I'm sorry. Yeah. if I had kept my heart and my head right, that wouldn't have happened. I'm sorry. Whatever God has called us to do, he will give us the strength and the power to do it. Amen. If he's called you to it, he'll equip you for it. With God's help, we can carry the responsibilities he gives us without wearing down. The problem is not that God's given us too much, it's that we've gone to him too little. It's that we're doing things in our own strength instead of him. Now, we also tend to place expectations on others. Think about it from the home front, says Moore. It says your spouse cannot meet the deepest need of your heart. Only God can do that. When our deepest longing is met in Christ alone, then we will experience true satisfaction in our marriages. Expectations from church. How many Christians have checked out of church because the people in the church didn't somehow meet their expectations? He says, what a shame. Again, here he says, you got to understand, in church and out of church, every human being is disgustingly human. How about the sense of expectation to be a spiritual Superman? He said, listen, God uses people to help us deal realistically with unrealistic expectations. Oftentimes it will be your brother or sister in Christ that will come alongside and say, listen, you're no Superman. Right? I've had this conversation with many. I hear oftentimes, well, I'm no Apostle Paul. I said, of course you're not. Nobody is. What kind of statement is that? And it's usually an escape clause to try to say, I can't live up to his standards. Well, that's a lie if you're a Christian. Because the only thing that makes the Apostle Paul impressive is the Spirit of God in him and his faithful obedience in walking with him. And if you're a Christian, the same Holy Spirit is in you, and he's empowered per 2 Peter 1:3 and Philippians 4:13, that you and I can't use that excuse. There's no can't on this side of the cross with Christ. This is such a beautiful truth. But if it gets perverted or ignored, you end up in Ziklag. Happens all the time. Listen to Isaiah 49:23. Spiritual strength comes from keeping our trust in God alone. His promise is clear. Here's Isaiah 49. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Amen. So, some questions to reflect upon. What are some of the expectations you feel the church places on believers? I find this one to be particularly poignant because I'm often challenged indirectly and directly that this church places too high an expectation. I was recently told that I was wrong in my teaching because I placed on the body of Christ a sense of responsibility and burden that said the person speaking only belongs to the leaders of the church. And that was based on a wrong interpretation of 1 Timothy. I was in essence told that to teach 1 Timothy to the church was wrong because that's Paul teaching and speaking to a leader of the Ephesian church. Listen, friends, the expectation that God has for you is what this church has for you. It's that you will live a life sold out to Jesus the Christ because he died for you and he's called us to it. I've said before, and you'll hear tomorrow in our message, I think it was Augustine that coined this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then go do whatever you want. Whatever you want. Anything goes. So long as it's under the umbrella of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. So again, what are some of the expectations you feel the church places on believers? I pray that you'll embrace every expectation that comes from God's word, and you'll reject anybody who tells you to reject them. Second, provocative reflection. Do you believe these expectations are in line with the scriptures? Third, what steps can you take to deal with the internal and external expectations that tend to wear you down? Think about that. You can run to Ziklag, you can get away from them, or you can run to our King and ask him to calibrate you, to to bring you to the place where you want to, don't have to, walk in faithful obedience. Again, questions that will help prepare you for chapter 4.